time for everything. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter scones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. What do workers gain from their toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on the human race. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from the beginning to end. I know that there is nothing better for people to be happy and to do good while they live, that each of them may drink and eat and find satisfaction in all their toil. This is the gift of God. I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing can be taken from it. God does it so that people will fear him. Whatever is has already been, and whatever will be has been before. And God will call the past to account. And I saw something else under the sun. In the place of judgment, wickedness was there. In the place of justice, wickedness was there. I said to myself, God will bring into judgment both the righteous and the wicked, for there will be a time for every activity, a time to judge every deed.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's great to see you all on this Sunday morning, and how good it is to spend some time in God's Word. Life is like a roller coaster. Plenty of ups and downs, highs and lows, twists and turns, many of them unexpected, none of them will last. So don't dwell on the low spots, and definitely savour the highs. Life is like a roller coaster. Sometimes you close your eyes and hold on in sheer terror, and other times you just have to raise your hands in the air and enjoy the ride. Life is like a roller coaster. It's never going to be perfect. It is going to have perfect moments and then rough spots, but it's all worth it in the end. There are many quotes about our human experience being like riding on a roller coaster. Observational quotes, inspirational quotes. But in the end, they're all based on the very same simple fact, and that is that no one has ever achieved a perfect existence in this world. Not the smartest or richest, the most powerful or popular. No one's journey is without bumps and pitfalls. And whoever we are, we all die in the end. Our days are a mix of good times and hard times. That's just the way it is. Such is life. I'm pretty sure that King Solomon never rode a roller coaster. But I am sure that he understood this concept very clearly. For isn't that exactly what he's speaking about in the first 8 verses of Ecclesiastes chapter 3? He says, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. It all starts off rather benign, doesn't it? He could just be speaking about us having a time for school and a time for work and a time for holidays, time to get married, to have children, to retire. But we quickly discover, don't we, that he's digging much deeper than that. because alongside the joyful elements of life, he also lists an equal and equivalent number of things that we would rather be avoiding. Solomon begins by mentioning the absolute joy of a baby born, but then reminds us of the utter sadness of a loved one's death. They're both part of our experience. Sometimes they happen side by side. He speaks of times of healing and building and laughing and dancing, but also of killing and tearing down and weeping and mourning. He says there's a time to scatter stones, a mysterious reference, yet we know it's negative. Maybe it's destroying a building, or maybe it's putting rocks in your neighbor's field to make it unproductive. But then comes the time to gather. There's a time to embrace and a time to refrain. For some, it's always time to embrace, isn't it? For others, it's always time to refrain, and how awkward it is when the two of them meet. There's also a time to be silent, and there's a time to speak. Perhaps, like me, you tend to get those mixed up. In the end, Solomon concludes with some of the things that impact us the most deeply on both an individual and a corporate level. For he says there is also a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. He's not passing any value judgments on these things, but he's simply observing that they're all part of life. Life, as he says in verse 1, under the heavens, under the sun. By now we know what he means by that, don't we? This is life here on earth that he's talking about, lived within its narrow boundaries of space and time, without reference to anything bigger. It's full of ups and it's full of downs, it's full of twists and turns. It's like riding on a roller coaster. These opening verses are so poetic and so profound, aren't they? Did you know that in 1959, Pete Seeger used them to compose a song that was then made famous in 1965 by the Byrds, reaching number one in the charts? To everything, turn, turn, turn. There is a season, turn, turn, turn. And a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to reap, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to laugh, a time to weep. The song follows the passage closely till the very last words, where we find an added longing for something better. They sing a time to gain, a time to lose, a time to rend, a time to sow, a time for love, a time to hate, a time for peace. I swear, it's not too late. Don't we also long for something better? For surely if we were in control, then we would only take the good and the positive elements of life. We'd take the joy and the laughter and the love and the peace. And we'd do away with all of that misery. But we can't, because we're not in control. And so hard times come. And sometimes they're so hard that we feel like we can't even go on. Friends, life is a struggle. And that's what leads Solomon to his sober analysis in verses 9 and 10. He says, "What do workers gain from their toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on the human race." And here we're hearing echoes, aren't we, of the first two chapters. Why do we bother with all this effort when it all comes to nothing in the end? Life is tough. Life is toilsome. Life is a burden. But I hope you also saw something very noticeable here in verse 10. Because in verse 10, Solomon speaks of God. And God hasn't been mentioned in the passages we looked at in chapters 1 and 2, although there is passing reference in some of the verses we skipped over. But now God becomes the center of attention. And so Solomon, we see, is truly lifting up his eyes And in doing so, he's lifting up our eyes beyond the sun to the maker of heaven and earth, to the giver and sustainer of life, to the Lord who controls and directs and provides, to the one who determines the things that are to come. Friends, it's the Lord who controls the ups and the downs of life. He decides when each of these good things and when each of these hard things enter our daily experience. As it says in Psalm 31, "But I trust in you, Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hands." And that leads us to what I think is the most wonderful verse in the whole passage, verse 11. Because having turned his eyes to the Lord, Solomon declares, "He has made everything beautiful in its time." And this reminds us, first of all, that all the wonderful things in life come from our God. In James chapter 1, it says, "Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights." Oh yes, our God is perfect. Our God is loving. And our God is good. You do know, don't you, that life could be all bad. Everything could always go wrong. There's no reason why that shouldn't be the case. But it isn't, because God makes sure that it isn't. And so we can thank him and we can praise him for joyful events and positive outcomes and blessings of every kind. It is the Lord who blesses us with the birth of children and with the healing of illnesses and with times of happiness and laughter. He brings an end to grief and to hardship and to wars. Even in the worst of times, we can know that there are better times ahead. Even at a funeral, we find reasons to rejoice, and we've all experienced it. Even the person in the most difficult of circumstances still has good things in their life. But yet, this verse leaves us with an enormous challenge, doesn't it? Because it says that God has made everything beautiful in its time. And everything isn't beautiful, is it? There are blessings, but always alongside the troubles in our life, the troubles in our community, the troubles in our world. And death still comes in the end. So how can Solomon say he's made everything beautiful in its time? Well, maybe the problem is that we are actually still stuck down here under the sun. Maybe the problem is that we are looking for this ultimate beauty in our lives and in this world. In our lives in this world and in our days upon this earth. And we have forgotten to look beyond. Because the very next words of verse 11 say this. They say, he has also set eternity in the human heart. And that, my friends, is the most profound part of it all. Because the Lord is telling us here that there is more to your life than meets the eye. More than just the here and now. More than just these few short days that we spend on this earth. The Lord is telling us that there is an eternity that lies ahead. And we all know that it's true, don't we? Because God has set eternity in the human heart. Sure, there are plenty who deny it because they want to deny God himself. And so they desperately try to convince themselves that this is all that there is. They try desperately to believe that when their body ceases to function, that they will be finished and be no more. But yet in the end, I'm not sure that anyone can actually take that thought all the way to their grave. Back in the 1980s, the Eurogliders released a song called Heaven, and perhaps like me, you remember it well. They sang, "Oh, I want to find a better place. I'm searching for a better place. I'm tired of living in the sand. I'm searching for a better land. Heaven must be there. Well, it's just got to be there. I've never seen Eden, but I don't want to live in this place. I don't know about you, but I have never witnessed a funeral, no matter how unchristian or how unreligious, where it is claimed at that funeral that the person who died is gone forever. They're always somewhere better. They're always looking down on us. They're always released from their troubles. They're always happy at last. Romans chapter 1 speaks of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, Paul says, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and his divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. And here in Ecclesiastes, we're told that as part of that, the Lord has also set eternity in the human heart. Anyone who is actually willing to think about it will know that there's more to us than skin and bone. But we have a heart, we have a consciousness, we have a soul. And my friends, the soul does not die. But the point that Solomon makes is that eternity isn't going to just be more and more of the same. It's not going to be an endless cycle of ups and downs like we have now, but never ending, like a roller coaster you can never get off. But eternity is the time when God is going to make everything beautiful. Eternity is when we will finally experience life as it was meant to be, when there will only be health and happiness, peace and prosperity, love and laughter. As we're so told so magnificently in Revelation chapter 1, it says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and will be their God. And he will wipe every tear from their eyes. And there will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain. For the old order of things has passed away.'" Life in this world can be so incredibly hard, but we are looking forward to a time when all of those hard things are finished. All your struggles and pain and anxieties and fears, all your tensions and inadequacies and failures, all gone and forgotten. Everything made beautiful in its time. Everything perfect as we live forever with our God. That can be so hard for us to understand, can't it? For we only know life down here, with all of its imperfections and all of its hardships. We've never seen that better place. And Solomon gets that. The end of verse 11, he says, "Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. It's beyond our comprehension." But friends, that's why we need faith. Faith to trust our God. Faith to trust that he is true to his word and true to his promises. And he truly is preparing a new heaven and a new earth where he will wipe away every tear from our eyes. Do you realize that when we actually grasp this truth properly, it makes all the difference in our lives here and now? You see, for chapters, Solomon has been lamenting that there's nothing good in life, no ultimate happiness, no ultimate satisfaction. Do you remember chapter 1? He said, meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. What do people gain from all their labours at which they toil under the sun? But now his tune is changing because God and eternity are in the picture. Listen to verses 12 and 13. He says, I know that there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live, that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all their toil. This is the gift of God. Life is futile when lived exclusively under the sun, from merely a secular perspective. But when you know God, then you know his blessings, and you also know that he can give you the ability to actually enjoy them. And that is why, my friends, a filthy, rich, non-Christian can be miserable, while a Christian living in poverty can overflow with joy. For we can be content wherever God puts us. As Paul says in Romans 12, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Because we know that the day is coming when all those afflictions will be gone. But friends, if all this is true, and it is, then surely it's of the utmost importance that we ourselves are included in this new heaven and new earth, in this eternal life when everything will be made beautiful. How tragic if we would miss out on that. But contrary to what so many in this world believe, that's not a foregone conclusion. For the simple fact is that you simply cannot go through life ignoring the God who made you and then expecting that in the end you will dwell with him. So many presume that every person who passes away goes to a better place, to their version of heaven, to receive that pie in the sky when they die. But what are they basing that on? Where does their hope lie? Friends, we need to understand very clearly that there is an enormous barrier between us and the Lord. And that barrier is called sin. And that barrier rightly excludes every single person on this earth from eternal life with him. But yet in his mercy, God is the one who is working to take that barrier away. Listen to verse 14. Solomon writes, I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken away from it. God does it so that people will fear him. God is working in this world. God is working in your life. And he's working for a purpose, for a forever purpose. His plans have eternal implications. And so it is not by accident that we experience ups and downs and good and bad and joy and sorrow. Because God is using these things, these very things, to reveal himself to us. He's doing it so that we will fear him. But why should we fear him? Well, listen to the last three verses. It says, whatever is has already been, and what will be has been before, and God will call the past to account. And I saw something else under the sun. In the place of judgment, wickedness was there. In the place of justice, wickedness was there. I said to myself, God will bring into judgment both the righteous and the wicked, for there will be a time for every activity, a time to judge every deed. In this final section, Solomon reminds us that there is a time still coming when God is going to deal with all the sin and all the evil that's in this world. But you see, there's a reason why life is so imperfect, and that's because we and all people live in defiance of our Maker. And when we live in defiance of our Maker, then things just keep going wrong. But there's a day coming when God will call the past to account, and when He will deal with all this wickedness, when He will bring all people into judgment. For just as there is a time for everything, so there will be a time when the Lord God Almighty judges every single deed. Yours, mine, everyone's. Jesus speaks of this in Matthew 25. At the conclusion of His parable of the sheep and goats, He says, "Then they, that is the wicked, will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life." But who is righteous? Well, none of us. For we all fall short of God's standards every single day. I know that I do. I'm a terrible sinner, deserving nothing but wrath. But yet we can find our righteousness in Christ. For God sent His Son to stand in our place, to wash us clean, to make us perfect in His sight. In Romans chapter 3, it says, "There is no one righteous, not even one. But now the righteousness of God has been made known. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, but yet can be justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus." Only because of Jesus can we face judgment with hope. And only because of Jesus can we be sure of our place in heaven. For God so loved this world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Friend, if you're listening to this message today, then I want to ask you the most important question that you're ever going to hear. Do you have eternal life? And this is not the time to be fooling yourself, quite frankly, to think you're okay because somehow you've done enough, or you've ticked the boxes, or you're a decent person, or you turn up at church. I wonder, are there people here right now fooling themselves? We all know life's like a roller coaster, full of ups and downs. Sometimes it can be tough, so tough we don't think we can do it anymore. But yet God is at work, and God wants you to wake up to the fact that in all of these things, He is guiding your life. And He's doing that for an eternal purpose, so that you will fear Him, and so that you will turn to Him in faith. Don't we just know that there's more to life than this? Don't you feel eternity in your heart? And so we need to be prepared. We need to make sure that we will stand on that day when He judges every deed. There truly is a time for everything, a season for every activity under heaven. But today is the time for you to look beyond, to look to Jesus, the only name by which we can be saved. Will you put your trust in Him? Will you find your purpose in Him? Will you give your life to Him? Only Jesus can make you ready for that day. And for those who do believe, don't ever forget that on that day we will see Him shining brighter than the sun. On that day, we will know Him as we lift our voice as one. Until that day, we will praise Him for His never-ending grace. And we will keep on singing on that glorious day. In all the twists and turns of this roller coaster life, Remember, the Lord is in control, and he truly will make everything beautiful in his time. Let's pray. Father in heaven, you understand the circumstances that each and every one of us here are in. We may be in a time of joy, we may be in a time of sorrow, but how good it is to know and to be reminded this morning that our lives are not ruled by chance or luck or fate, because we know that you are at work and you are guiding our every step, and you're doing that in order that we would come to know you and to fear you and to put our trust in you. For Lord, we're certain that this life is not all there is, because you've put that knowledge in us. We are certain that there is a glorious eternity ahead where we finally will dwell in your presence and experience your blessing and be free of our struggles, because you will make everything beautiful. Father, for those who don't yet trust in Jesus for their salvation, for those who have not repented of their sin and put their faith in you and given their lives to you, we want to ask you to stir their hearts this morning, right now. And Father, for those who do, may our faith grow, and may we rejoice in your redeeming grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Friends, our musicians are coming forward, and as they do, we're going to stand and sing together in response to God's word to us today.